Hello, friends. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Mr. Willwide Podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking about money. Yep, I know. A lot of people start squirming in their seats and getting comfortable when they start talking about money. But if you're interested in buying a new car, you have to know what to expect and how to prepare. So this will be the first episode in the mini-series, the yet-to-be-determined number of episode mini-series, regarding buying a new car and best practices. I'll be sure to share my tips and tricks that I've picked up over the years of working in a dealership selling cars professionally, as well as just, you know, helping people go to the dealership to negotiate a deal. If you haven't already done so, please be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss any of the episodes. I'll start covering the news as well so that we can discuss some other topics besides just buying the new car. If you haven't checked it out, be sure to go to my website and check out my blog. It's mrwillwide.weebly.com. You can see sort of the articles that I share there, my thoughts on the automotive industry, as well as some other tips and tricks on buying used cars, detailing them, and working on them. If you haven't seen my Instagram, be sure to check that out. It's MrWillWide415, where I share cool pictures of cars that I like, engines, more automotive news, and tips and tricks for buying and selling and cleaning and fixing cars as well. With all of that said, let's go ahead and buckle up and shift into gear because we're rolling out. Alrighty guys, before I make you extremely uncomfortable by talking about money, I'd like to go ahead and talk a little bit about what's going on in the automotive world news-wise. I'm going to go ahead and talk first about a company that's very near and dear to my heart, Ford Motor Company. I feel that as an automotive manufacturer, they treat their employees very well. They offer education opportunities to their employees, and they're doing something really cool for people that buy brand new Ford cars as well. So during the lockdown, of course, a lot of people were laid off and couldn't afford to make their payments. They couldn't afford to pay rent. They couldn't afford to buy food. They couldn't afford to make their car payments. So everybody was falling behind. The people at Ford Motor Credit did something really cool. They had Ford Motor Credit had a program where if you were affected by COVID-19, you can make payment deferrals if you were having a hard time paying. They started a program called the Built to Lend a Hand program that allowed eligible new car customers in the U.S. to defer payments for up to 3 months, and Ford paid an additional 3 months, providing up to 6 months of payments for customers that were affected by COVID-19 financially. They have launched a new program where they are promising customers a peace of mind by giving you the ability to return your car after a year, within 1 year of buying the car. In other words, if you bought a brand new car or you leased a brand new car and you are affected by COVID-19 or job loss due to, you know, something, some outside circumstance, they are offering to take the car back. They're covering up a certain amount. Of course, there are details and restrictions. I believe Ford is covering up to $15,000 of the remaining balance on a car. It's running through September 30th of this year. But that's something incredible for an auto manufacturer to do. Of course, Ford being an American company, you know, one of the big three in the U.S., this speaks volumes about what they believe and how they feel about their customers. When I was working for Ford Motor Company shortly after the credit crisis of 2007 and 2008, They were the only auto manufacturer in the U.S. that didn't get a government bailout. So they didn't take any of the government's money. They ended up restructuring the company, cutting costs, improving their products, improving the quality of their cars, and they made it through the 2007 and 2008 financial crisis. So again, a big fan of Ford Motor Company, and I can't say enough good things about the programs they're releasing currently to help those affected by COVID-19 due to job loss or illness or, you know, whatever else may be affecting them. So I got to give big props to them. In other news for Ford Motor Company, they have officially launched the new Ford Bronco. And let me tell you, I am amazed. I'm in love with this thing. It's gorgeous. It has all the right features. It's got all the right options. And of course, because it's been such a long time since we've had a Bronco, people are chomping at the bit to buy this thing. No joke. They sold out of all of the new first edition Broncos. They had you put a $100 deposit where you could claim one of the very first new Broncos. So they sold out within hours. Not to say that I'm surprised, but again, being that they're an American car company, they help their customers out. They've got some pretty good products behind them. Even though they discontinued a lot of the cars and they're making the Mustang an electric SUV, I think that they have hit a home run with the Broncos so far. Fingers crossed that they keep the quality high, that they listen to what the consumer wants and make some cool off-road packages, powerful engines. Hopefully there's an SVT option in the future. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Ford. So that's what's going on with Ford Motor Company right now. In other automotive news, Honda has recently announced that they are going to add an electric rear axle to the Civic Type R. It's going to have 395 horsepower, and it's a front-wheel drive car. With the addition of this electric rear axle, they're going to basically make it a hybrid all-wheel drive car. Now, this technology is something that they borrowed from the NSX. Of course, the NSX is a reverse car to the Honda Civic, where it's a rear engine or mid-engine rear-wheel drive car with an electric front axle. Now, if you read my blog on my website, you'll see that I mentioned some of these vehicles that are electric hybrids, where the automotive industry is currently shrinking the size of engines that they're putting in these cars and increasing the amount of horsepower they're getting by using forced induction, or in this case, what the NSX and Civic are doing, they're adding electric hybrid drivetrains. So there's a huge benefit to adding an electric axle to this type of vehicle because electric motors provide 100% of torque from zero RPM all the way through the power band. So this will help the Civic Type R launch like a bad out of hell. So very excited to see what this will do to the hot hatch segment. I'm anticipating that Volkswagen and Nissan and Toyota and other manufacturers to jump into the ring with their version of hybrid powertrains and electric axles. So something that I'm pretty excited about, being that I am an electric car guy, and I'm all for the technology. Now, let's go ahead and jump to the other side of the pond here. We're going to go to Europe and Germany, where Porsche has announced that they are 3D printing pistons. Now, these pistons are lighter and stronger than some of the traditional methods that they use to manufacture pistons. This is a huge game changer. Traditionally, pistons are either sintered, metal, they're cast pistons, sometimes they're forged for high performance applications. To be able to 3D print a piston will definitely change how these vehicles perform. So I anticipate more horsepower, higher RPMs, better performance, better longevity, and of course less turnaround time for the manufacturing side of things. So pretty exciting news. I'm sure that once they refine this technology, it won't be long before they're 3D printing camshafts, crankshafts, and maybe even entire engine blocks. So that's something to keep an eye out for, and something that I'm really excited for in the automotive technology segment. So with all of that said, let's go ahead and move on to our primary segment, which is talking about money. Alrighty, guys, so now we're at the meat and potatoes of this episode. We're going to talk about money. When it comes to buying a new car, what you should expect and what it takes to buy a brand new car. The very first thing we need to ask ourselves is, can we afford to buy a brand new car? There are a couple rules of thumb that we should follow, and I will do my best to steer you away from financing a car. Yeah, you heard me right. I will do my best to keep you from getting into debt to buy a car. So, can you afford a new car? If your answer is yes, I want you to think long and hard about what I mean by if you can afford a new car. Anybody can go run to the dealership, sign a piece of paper, borrow 20 or 30 grand and get stuck paying $300 to $500 a month for 5 to 6 years. Now, that is what the majority of people do. That's what's become normal in American culture. It's what's become normal as a consumer. Unfortunately, there are long-lasting repercussions for taking on a car payment. So, we're going to try to work this deal out where you're paying cash for a brand new car. I know, it sounds ridiculous. Cash. How am I going to pay 30 grand for a brand new car in cash? It's possible. There are ways. We're going to talk about more of that in future episodes. So, if you're paying cash for the car, excellent. You're a rock star. You're financially able to pay for the car. Now, can you afford the car? Even though you can pay cash for the car, can you afford it based on your income? The total value of all of your cars should be less than 50% of your household income. Okay, so if you and your spouse are both making $50,000 a year, your total household income is $100,000. The total of all of your cars combined should be $50,000. You can afford two $25,000 cars. Or if you work in the trades and you got a partner that maybe works from home, or you guys, you have two different commutes, you got to figure out where those $50,000 are going to go. You don't want to end up being car poor. Okay. So that's kind of the big two rules of thumb. Okay. Now, the reason I'm going to steer away from you financing the car, even though I'll teach you how to go out and finance a car, is because debt is hard to get out of. The money that you're paying on a car could go towards your future investments. It could go towards your retirement. It could go towards your kids' college fund. I made the mistake of buying cars, on payments. I bought two brand new cars. I leased two brand new cars. I also bought a used car. And let me tell you, over the span of 10 years, had I invested that money into an index mutual fund or my 401k account or an IRA account, I would be significantly more prepared for retirement. So I'm a dumb dumb too. Trust me, I've made that mistake. And I want to help my friends avoid that mistake. Now, you've gotten this far and you're pretty uncomfortable and probably turned off at the idea of paying cash for a car or not getting a loan. So, we are still going to talk about financing a car. If all else fails and you're going to do what most people do and you're going to buy a car, I'm going to make sure that you understand exactly what it takes to buy a brand new car if you're making payments. Now, the average consumer is not aware of how much it costs to buy a car when you borrow the money. The average consumer is also not aware of how much money you should be putting down and what type of interest rates to expect. Now, if you're taking a brand new car and you're making payments on that car, you're going to have to show some good faith by bringing some cash to put down. Ideally, you want to put 30% or more down as a down payment towards your brand new car. There are people that can qualify for zero down on a brand new car. And I'll tell you why this is an awful idea. If you're putting zero money down on a brand new car, you are financing the taxes, you're financing the fees from the dealer, you're financing the license plates, you're financing everything that you normally wouldn't be paying interest on. So zero down is not an option here. I want you guys to be financially able to afford this car if you have to borrow money, which you shouldn't, but we will. Now that you've put 30% down payment and you're paying off the 15% in fees and registration, you're going to be 15% ahead of the game in equity on this car. Now, I use the word equity, but realistically speaking, a car is a depreciating liability. You have to maintain the car. You have to keep gas in the car. Since you are financing the car, you also have to keep full coverage insurance. The bank wants to make sure that their loan is protected should you wreck the car. You also have to repair the car. If you're paying for a car over a 5-year period, the warranty will expire within the first 3 years or 36,000 miles for most cars. Now, the first part of that warranty is bumper to bumper. So when that warranty expires, you're going to be responsible for the electrical switches, the power windows, the wiring, the computers. You will foot the bill for all that stuff. The second portion on warranties for most cars is 60,000 miles or 6 years, and that covers the big expensive powertrain components, the engine and transmission. So, let's say that you're driving your financed car and 5 years down the road, 4.5 years down the road, you need to repair the AC system. The air conditioning system is not covered by the powertrain warranty. An average AC system repair can be as little as $400 or as much as $2,000 depending on what the car is. So that's why we want to avoid borrowing that much money and taking a long time to pay it off. Now, when it comes to your credit and what type of interest you might see on a brand new car, it varies from person to person, and each deal is unique. Some people can qualify for 0% APR, 0.99, 1.99% APR. If you've got good credit, you've got a good income, and you're putting a substantial amount of money down, you can qualify for those kinds of rates. If you got so-so credit, or you don't got much money to put down, or you're trading in a car that you owe more than it's worth on, then your interest rate will be higher because you are a greater risk to the bank. Now, the last thing the bank wants to do is repossess your car and then have to try to sell the car at auction or sell it to another dealer and then go after you for the payments. So if we understand all that is involved with buying a brand new car on payments, you can be more prepared to decide whether or not you can really afford this car. Now, I remember selling cars at the dealership, and the most uncomfortable part of the conversation, other than getting to know each other when you walk up to someone and say hi and shake hands, is sitting down and filling out the credit application. I get all up in your business when I fill out your credit application with you. I ask you how much money you make every month. I ask you how much money you pay in rent. I ask you how much money you got in savings. I get your name, your driver's license information, your address, your social security number, and then I run your credit. If you came in expecting to buy a Toyota RAV4 or your Toyota Camry and your finances don't match that kind of car, you're going to leave the lot in a Toyota Yaris or your Toyota Corolla. Right, so it's heartbreaking when you have an expectation of buying a nicer car, but you don't qualify because of your finances. So here are some tips that I have when it comes to money and buying a brand new car. The first and most important tip, as I mentioned earlier, is buy it in cash if you can afford it and it is less than half of your household income. The second tip I have about money and buying a brand new car is have a substantial down payment. The less you borrow from the bank, the less interest you pay to the bank, and the less amount of time you have to pay that car off. The faster you pay the car off, the better. Third tip is know your credit rating. Know exactly what you will qualify for by getting a pre-approval through a credit union or through your bank. This will save you headaches, it'll save you hassles, it'll save you heartbreak. If you're sitting down at the dealership and you're pulling your credit for the first time and you never knew what your credit score is, you may be in for a pretty big shock and it will take longer to get your deal done. Usually customers that aren't aware of how much they need to put down, they don't know what they make every month, and they're not aware of what their credit score is, are the customers that take the longest to buy a new car if they even qualify. Okay, so again, it's a very uncomfortable conversation to have. It's a very tough thing to do, to look at your finances and be honest with yourself about whether or not buying a brand new car is a good idea. For the majority of Americans, buying a brand new car is not a good idea. Most cars lose about 10 to 20% of their value just driving off of the lot. If you take all 6 years to pay off a car, by the time you are done paying that car, it will have lost 70 to 80% of its value. For example, you buy a $100,000 BMW. You take 6 or 7 years to pay it off. When you're done with that car, you will be lucky if it's worth $20,000. The majority of cars do not hold their value that well from being brand new. So, that is our money talk, my friends. I want to make sure that you don't get tangled up in buying a car with debt. If something breaks down, I promise you, you won't be a happy camper. You're going to be paying repair bills, or you're going to let the car get into a state of neglect. Once that AC system breaks, you're going to start driving the car and hate it. It's going to be hot. It's going to be uncomfortable. Then the tires are going to wear out and you're going to say, you know what? I don't even want to buy tires. Then the brakes are going to start squeaking and suddenly you feel like you're trapped in an unsafe car. When in reality, you just got in over your head. You can't afford to maintain the car and you can't afford to repair the car. So you're in the situation that a lot of friends get into, a lot of people get into, where you're stuck paying the car until it's done, or you have to decide that you're going to let the car go for a loss and you end up having to pay the difference. So that is our episode this week for the Mr. Will Wide podcast. Again, I thank you for listening to all my crazy ramblings. I hope that you subscribe and tune in to next week's episode when we talk a little bit more about what to do with your old car if you're going to be trading it in and you still owe some money on it. I'm going to be providing you some tips on how to increase your old car's value, how to advertise it, how to market it, how to sell it, or just trade it in if you don't want to deal with all that hassle. So please be sure to check out my website, check out my blog, check out my Instagram, and tune in for more episodes of the Mr. Will Wide podcast. Take care, guys.